have a moment of silence and get started here. We'll start off with some announcements. Is any announcements on the commission? Starting on my left, Karen.
Bob.
The Morbey High School Music Boosters has their Valentine's Delight on Friday, the 14th, in the community center. It will be desserts only. And most importantly, this is gives the kids an opportunity to perform in solos. And so it will be the high school music department's band and choir. And the kids will be performing in solos. This is the second year that they've done it. And it's a whole lot of fun. Tickets can be purchased and calling 225-6040. Also, Sunday night, the February the 16th, the Lions Club and the Music Boosters is doing a Tunes and Noodles spaghetti feed with a bluegrass band that's from Olympia, Washington. You can get tickets to that either from the Chamber of Commerce or Lions Club members or also calling 225-6040.
Thanks. Drew?
No.
I'd like to just remind everybody that there's a CERT program coming into Morro Bay put on by the fire departments in February 13th through the 20th. There's four sessions. It's kind of disaster preparedness. It's the Community Act Emergency Response Team, CERT. So, you know, if anybody's interested in kind of learning about the responses, emergency care, they teach you first aid, all kinds of things, be more than welcome to join that. Thank you.
Thanks. Mr. Woods, did you have any announcements?
Yes, I did. Good evening, Chair Bates and Commissioners. Got a couple announcements from the staff's table. We have wanted to make a quick shout-out to the our fundraiser, Dixon Halfley's annual spaghetti dinner, which is in March. This year it is March the 14th. That's a Friday. That's held at the community center, and that is several groups, the Senior Citizens Incorporated, the Morro Bay Community Foundation, and the Recreation Parks Commission, as well as staff putting on a large fundraiser spaghetti dinner on the 14th of March. Come on out and support a program that's going to raise funds for youth scholarships for families in the Estero Bay to participate in our programs. The second shout-out is going out to Rock to Pier Run, and I'm announcing it here in January because this will be our third annual Rockin' Around the Pier half marathon. So those folks who are thinking about doing some running this summer in either the 10K up to the pier or around and back to the rock, time to get off those shoes and start putting in some miles. So you got about 6 months or so to get ready. So it's Rock to Pier Run. That is on July the 12th. And we do have an early bird sign-up coming up. Check our website for those dates to get a better discount on your registration. And the last of my announcements would be for the Morro Bay Community Foundation's next program, which is Love Letters. There's a play performance that will be put on here at the Vets Hall, and that is February the 15th. And they have a Facebook page like the Morro Bay Community Foundation and get all the information on that program. That concludes staff's announcements. If you'd like me to go into presentations, we have two groups here for you this evening. As promised, commissioners, we are going to start the new year off with inviting Adopt-A-Park groups from the community to your meeting to show a little bit about what their club is about, what they're doing, and why they've chosen to participate in our Adopt-A-Park program, and tell us a bit about what their involvement is in our park program. Tonight we have the Morro Bay I want to say Master Gardener, it's the Morro Bay Garden Club and the Morro Bay Guerrilla Gardening Club. And they have teamed up to join forces at a newly established park, even though these two groups have volunteered throughout the community for many years prior to this day. But this is the new unveiling of basically a pocket park at Shasta Street. You know it as Shasta Street Pocket Park, SP2. We'd like to bring up to the podium now the Morro Bay Garden Club and tell us a bit about their club and about a little bit about Shasta Street Park possibly as well.
Oh, of course we will. We are members of the Morro Bay Garden Club. On my left is our president, Tyra Solomon. Over here we have Marilyn Glusman and Gloria, whose last name I couldn't even begin to pronounce. Montenegro.
Montemagni.
Oh, Montemagni. Okay. Well, you know, in reality, Garden Club in Morro Bay has been around for a long time. Ever since the city was founded 50 years ago this July, we've had a garden club. The Morro Bay Garden Club did a lot of work around town. They started the original Dahlia celebration in 1970. They had 10,000 people in this room for their Dahlia festival. Not all at once. They came and left. But that kind of died out a little bit. And then in the early 2000s, Grace Melton, one of our great heroines in town, talked us into starting again. So now the Morro Bay Garden Club was chartered in 2006. We currently are 24 members strong and still growing. We are a member of the California Garden Clubs and the National Garden Club Incorporated. The mission of the Morro Bay Garden Club is to promote sustainable gardening, participate in civic beautification, and encourage youth gardening. This past year, we donated over $1,500 to local youth gardening activities. I think I got that number right. Oh, good. We currently maintain a native plant garden on the Embarcadero, although we're losing our water in March. We got to work on that. Yep. A planter on Main Street in front of Kitty's Kitchen, and with the Guerrilla Gardeners, the Pocket Park on Shasta and Dunes. The Pocket Park is very special to us because among the other things we planted many, many dahlias, which is the city flower. And if you were by there in the late summer or early fall, you probably saw this beautiful display of colorful flowers in little sizes and great big ones. We had some yellow ones were there that big. They're not there now. They died back and we cut them off. But trust me, they'll be back this summer. Just like the Morro Bay Garden Club. Our meetings are held monthly at Coalesce Bookstore, and new members are always welcome. Did anybody else want to add to that?
No, I think they covered
they're a little shy of the microphone.
That's fine.
Do you have questions?
No, I just wanted to say that we do certainly appreciate all the work that you do and have done. This pocket park is really was a nothing lot. And then until we had the vision together to come through and put in some elements that would allow groups to come in and just have a nice passive park experience. And it has worked out extremely well. And both of your groups have just been off the charts as far as accountability and performance. And everybody who goes by certainly appreciates it, even though your name hasn't been on the park yet, and we certainly will be working on a sign to help you out.
Thank you.
We would give a little time to...
One quick more thing about the park that I almost forgot, and I'm sure that Taylor will talk about this too, because we planted all fruit trees in the park. So when they start to produce fruit, the citizens of Morro Bay are welcome to stop by and help themselves. We have picnic benches and tables out there so you can have lunch. And three of the avocado trees that we planted this fall were grafted by members of the Morro Bay Garden Club with the help of Joe Sable from Cal Poly. So that's it. We'll let Taylor have a turn now.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you so much. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
And I'd also like to thank all of you. It's the groups like you and the things that you do is why we live here, and that's why people come visit here.
Thank you.
Is the video?
Yeah, I got the video.
Okay.
Getting my HEP on. All right, I'm going to just play a short little video we made for the Shasta Street Pocket Park. Here it goes. Really am stoked on working with public service and community projects as a nonprofit. I love the Adopt a Park program in Morro Bay because it gives citizens an opportunity to supplement the work done by the city staff in our parks and recreation at large. There's pocket parks, there's larger parks, there's street trees, there's all these things in the city that volunteers can get involved with and participate in and supplement to the work done by our city employees. And it's a great marriage of the public and the city staff. And it has worked so well, and it's a very simple program, the Adopt-a-Park program, for groups such as the Morro Bay Garden Club or the Gorilla Gardening Club to get involved and help your city look better because, you know, we are, as they say, we're the pearl in the oyster out here in Morro Bay, and our little green patches and our greenways are really what add that that finishing touch to this tourist destination spot. So thank you, Joe Woods, for being the awesome, magnanimous man you are, and thank you all for volunteering as you do.
Thank you, Taylor. Oh, we got questions? Certainly.
I have a question. I'm pretty cognizant of your group and what you're doing. I'm a member of St. Timothy's Parish, and I know that you are the official gardener for the parish, and I've heard a lot of commendable things about you and your staff. And I was wondering, could you possibly elaborate about what the Gorilla Club actually can do for us or for other organizations?
So you hear our name around town. They call us the Gorilla Gardeners. They call us Gorilla, as in the primate. It's Gorilla, like guerrilla warfare. And that's off of the Gorilla Gardening concept that was drafted in the 60s, made public. The most famous Gorilla Gardener would be Johnny Appleseed, American hero. And what we do is we run a program where over 50 members. We're based out of St. Timothy's. That's kind of like our campus. We have a partnership with St. Timothy's like we do with other entities in the Morro Bay area. We train people there, educate them about gardening and community service. Our group, our organization, the Gorilla Gardening Club, is available to any entity in Morro Bay to do public works projects. So businesses can come to us for our service. We have a barter garden program where businesses can have planters or garden space at their business maintained by the Gorilla Gardening Club members for barter, where you trade services. We do paid work where people can hire members of the Gorilla Gardening Club on a private basis. Basically, the Gorilla Gardening Club offers trained vouched for young people and people who need work, who have gone through a training program so that you're not just pulling a person off of the street. Private citizens hire club members. You can call 462-7398 for that service. We also do grounds management and mostly management and maintenance through my business, but I'm really, these days, I'm really focusing my time on the Gorilla Gardening Club in St. Timothy's, so I usually try to give all the work to the members privately, so you're getting a laborer, and it should be a small job. You know, they're not professional contractors. You're just hiring a young person who has had training and can be vouched for. It's not just a nameless person off the street, and we do volunteer service for parks and recreation, for public service works. City Hall, Police Department, you name it, we do, we're there. If you need trash service, if you need recycling service, if you need somebody to stand up and talk for an hour, we're your team. So
one more time on the contact information.
The business manager is Jennifer Randolph, and she's my boss, and you can contact her at 462-7398. Our program runs Tuesday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. We're at St. Timothy's Catholic Church, 11 to 4 p.m., Tuesday through Friday. We have a little community garden slash nursery there. All those plants are used in community projects. We have the 50 Monterey cypresses that are going to be planted for the Morro Bay 50th anniversary are there. We have all the plants for Grandma's Frozen Yogurt nonprofit space on Morro Bay Boulevard and Main Street. We're trying to get everywhere. So if you have a space and you have a little bit of money and time to give work to young people, we're your team. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So thank you, commissioners, for allowing us to introduce this this new part to our program, these presentations. We are looking forward to bringing more groups to you in our next meeting, probably in March. And that's going to be, we've got the Rotary out there, Eco Rotary, Embarcadero Inn, the Teen Advisory, the Teen Action Club, and our newly adopted park at Centennial. There's Sawyer Frith, who's here with us this evening as a recreation supervisor, youth and senior services, for her guidance and advisements and support to their organization throughout the last year. And another award, a recognition to Eddie Gallardo, who is your Teen Action Club advisor and the Teen Center coordinator. And he is being recognized for his attitude, enthusiasm, for helping teens and bringing those teens, helping out the seniors in a lot of their special events throughout the last year. And some of the details are in the reports later on this evening, but I wanted during the beginning to let you know that staff has been recognized by your local Senior Citizens Incorporated, and it is certainly noteworthy on both of their performances. And with that, I think we've got a conclusion on of our announcements.
Okay. And presentations?
Correct.
Okay. No, I think. So now we'll open up for a period of public comment. If anybody in the audience would like to address the commission, you have 3 minutes to do so. Please state your name and please spell your last name.
I'm Catherine Thomas, Thomas. Can you hear me?
You can bring
it
down.
Pull the mic down, please.
There you go.
I was here a couple months ago regarding pickleball. Some of you may remember the term, and I gave you some information on that. Since then, Joe Woods and I have sort of emailed back and forth. We're looking for a venue in which to start it so that we can also do some clinics and get them advertised and going. And what I did today is I asked Jack Hodges, who is the U.S. ambassador, pickleball ambassador, to come and answer any further questions, and he brought just some of the equipment to sort of show you what we're talking about rather than trying to explain what we're talking about. We did have a video, but there's no audio, so he doesn't think it's worth showing without audio, so we're just going to go forward anyway. That's okay? Put on my time.
Right.
You don't want to take anything out.
That's okay.
You're all right.
Can you hear me as well?
Oh, yes. Yes.
My name is Jack Hodges. I'm one of the USAPA ambassadors for the sport of pickleball. There are 700 of us across the country. Now, I represent the fastest growing sport in America, and it used to be the fastest growing sport in America that you've never heard of. But that is changing, and it's changing significantly on the Central Coast. When I first moved up a year and a half ago, there was nothing. And I used to get calls all the time asking, where can we play pickleball? People travel from all over the country. And I said there was not much here. And so we got it going. We've gotten it started. I just came from a meeting on Monday with the Paso Robles Parks and Recreation Activities Commission, and making an appeal to them as well to use the Centennial Park roller hockey rink as a permanent site for pickleball, and they approved it on Monday. And so we're moving forward with creating 5 courts on that facility. We average 100 players a week playing pickleball, and over 400 different players have come through in the first year, travelers from all over, from 11 different states and 20 different cities in California. So it's viable, it's really growing, it's an outstanding sport. It started for pretty much the 50 and over crowd. All of us tennis players, all of us racquetball players and so on, but the trauma on the body after the age of 50 becomes exponential. And so we found, you know, this, well, it's been around a long time. It was invented, as you know, started almost 50 years ago by a U.S. congressman from the state of Washington. So at this time, if you would like me to answer any questions, I'll show you a little bit of the equipment we use. In the bag right down here, that's a pickleball net. Very portable. One person can put it up or take it down in 5 minutes. The paddles evolved like tennis. I mean, we were using the old Jack Kramer tennis rackets a long time ago, the wooden ones. And then, of course, the composite tennis rackets came along. Well, these are called paddles. Kind of looks like this. Like, starting to get pretty fancy. Nomex Core, which is a graphite composition, and you play with a wiffle ball, you know, the old baseball wiffle ball. And it does bounce. You might think it doesn't. It bounces just fine. And it's the game is like, you know, we shrunk you and put you on top of a ping pong table. And it's fast if you want it to be fast, and it's great exercise, and yet it's safe exercise. And that's why a lot of the young people and the seniors are taking it up, because you pretty much shuffle back and forth as you're playing. But why don't I open it up and answer any questions? I'm here to help Kathy get it started in Morro Bay. I can still pull it out and show you if you want me to. But that, if you can envision, you know, just a smaller tennis court, basically.
How about scoring?
Scoring, you play to 11. You can only score when you're serving. Yeah, side-out scoring, like the old volleyball scoring. It's not rally scoring. You have to serve underhand. Okay, so there's, you know, none of this and so on. And there's a no-volley zone where you can't be inside a certain area hitting the ball in the air back over the net. So it keeps the aggressive, you know, dominating players off of the net.
It keeps it from a smash and serve and smash type.
Yeah, you can't serve and volley because there's a two-bounce rule, too. The serve has to bounce, the return of serve has to bounce. And then anything goes. Yeah.
Let me close public comment and get you guys some questions if we have some here on the board.
Sure. Yeah.
So if there's no other members in the audience that would like to. Okay.
In the audience? Oh, we still have a couple.
Close public comment, and if any of the commissioners right now would have any questions.
Okay.
What is the age group that
it's multi-generational. The a 12-year-old can play with an 80-year-old and have a lot of fun. How many sports do you see that now these days? You can have in national tournaments across the country, 18-year-olds are playing in the same tournament as a 75-year-old person. Yes, it's dominated by the 30s and 40s and 50-year-old players who have, you know, migrated over from tennis or some other racket sport. There are national tournaments all over the country. And I'll tell you real quickly, the Huntsman World Senior Games, maybe you heard of them, in St. George, Utah, last year, 20 countries, 27 sports, 10,000 athletes, that's more than the London Olympics, and pickleball had more people entered than any other sport. 580 people entered, besides softball and basketball, which are team sports. You know, and you get 50 softball teams and so on, or 100 softball teams. But it was number 3 on the list of 27 sports in terms of popularity. And that's kind of what's happening across the country. What else? Did I answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a lot of elementary schools that are also now putting on clinics for it. And I just found out, for example, my grandnieces are in Illinois, and they play pickleball in high school, which was a total surprise, because I thought it was going to be shocking that with this old lady starting this new sport.
I've got a question.
What age group are you planning to use here in Morro Bay?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
What ages are you planning to suit the program to here in Morro Bay?
Well, what we were going to do was just offer clinics to anyone.
Any
Could you use the microphone, please?
Sorry.
Thank you.
We were going to offer clinics to anyone who was interested, and then if we got special requests, we would go, for example, to the elementary school or to the high school and offer clinics there. But the beginning part was just to offer general clinics, get it into the paper, get people out, and then as the interest grew, hopefully, we would become more specific.
I just finished a clinic last week for North County Christian School in Atascadero. We've done them for a number of schools in Paso Robles. Lewis Middle School was the last one for 100 eighth graders. 2 weeks later, they bought all the equipment and they're playing. And you know, and where we are, if you know Centennial Park at all in Paso, right next to us is Lewis Middle School, so we can see each other. And that's how they kept asking the instructor, "What is that they're playing?" And they became so interested in it, he just decided, "Okay, we're going to do this." But that's what's happening. It's a great entry sport into tennis for the youngsters. You know, they play with a smaller implement, smaller court. Work on their hand-eye coordination, don't have to do the single most difficult shot in the game in tennis, and that's the serve. And it's a great exit-level sport for the seniors coming out of tennis and some of the other sports and into something they can still do for another 20 years.
I think when you were here last time, I mentioned that I'm the tennis coach at the high school, and quite often we get people coming through asking for pickleball courts. The net, what do you use for net posts?
It's right in this bag. Yeah.
So it's not a permanent installation.
No, it can be, and there are permanent dedicated pickleball courts all across the country, but you can also set it up on your driveway in the neighborhood. A number of our players in Paso have purchased their own nets and paddles. They play with the family when the family comes through. They take them on trips with them. And you can check that in, and you know, on a plane or whatever, or when they're going down for a family vacation somewhere. So it's easy to set up, easy to take down. And, you know.
My question, Jack, was you said I'm down here.
Yeah.
Paso Robles has opened up their roller hockey rink, and that is an option that we'll be exploring on our staff report later on this evening. Given
$1,000 from hotel stays to shopping to gas to, you know, whatever, wine tasting, whatever they do. And those 100 people 50 of them bring their spouses who are also golfing. They're doing other things while their spouse is playing. So it's a great draw. And believe me, people pack these and go play somewhere when they're traveling. Our club was just invited to Spain. Spain has started pickleball, and they've invited our club to come over and help introduce the game. We're going in the fall of this coming year. So it'll be an Olympic sport. And you might think otherwise, but it's just booming across Europe as well. So, you know, that's a little bit more. I don't know if Kathy
Thank
wants
you.
To say
yeah,
else.
We had a lot of information last time, too. Thanks for coming out.
You're welcome.
Did anybody have any other questions?
Yes, sir.
Would you happen to have a phone number or a contact person? Either you possibly put on a clinic?
I can answer that one. I'd be fine. Okay. Commissioner Romero, staff has the contact information for both Kathy and Jack Hodges and their club. I've been on their website. If you're interested, they do have a website. You can just Google search pickleball in Paso, and you'll certainly come up to their webpage. There's a lot of information there. And when we get to the point where if we're going to be offering some clinics, okay. Jack will be able to contact
yes,
you
I'll
and arrange
and
that. Mm-hmm. Terrific.
Yeah. Driven all over. And we are volunteers as well. It's not a paid position. So we choose to spread the word wherever we choose to live. And like I say, the Central Coast is where my wife and I moved from. I was the head baseball coach and a professor at Saddleback College, 42 years, the last 22 there. So when I retired, we wanted to get out of Orange County and get up this way.
You
understand
it.
Why.
We'll be addressing the item formally later in our packet. It's not a public hearing. That's why we asked you to come to the public comment and give your input, and we definitely appreciate that. If you want to stay for the agenda item, you're more than welcome. If you don't, we understand that, and know that staff will be getting back to you with any kind of decisions and direction we might formulate and through this evening's discussion. So thank you both.
Thank you very much for allowing us to be here.
Thank you
for all your information.
Not very heavy.
And before you leave, Jack, what about the cost of both of those? The bag on the left with the net?
Well, a net, and I'll last you up. Come back up here?
Sure. Yeah. If you got a quick answer for those two.
The net, which will last you a long time, these are third or fourth year, cost you $159 for everything. The paddles are about half the price of a tennis racket, and they last a long time, too. You don't have to restring them. So balls are a couple of dollars a piece. And, you know, the balls last. The balls will crack eventually. Especially if you're playing in cold weather.
We have some of that estimated cost in your packet, and I just wanted to get a verification that our price range is right on target for having at least starting with two or three sets. Mm-hmm. Good. Thanks again, Jack.
Thank you very much.
Thanks again. All right, well, let's get to business here with the consent calendar. Looking for any motions for items A1 through A4?
I'd like to make a motion that we pull the first three items from A4 for review.
You want to pull file 1 through 3?
Oh. Okay, I'll make a motion we file 1 through 3.
I'll second that.
Those in favor of filing A1 through A3?
Aye.
Aye.
None opposed.
But I assume that there's a pool on A4?
Yes,
yeah.
We've got
pool
A4, please.
Yep. Do you have any particular items on A4 that you want me to address specifically? I have a few that I certainly could go through, if you'd like.
Sure. You know, the slow CAPRA, the Morro Bay's 50th, and the administration policies programs.
Certainly.
The first three.
The first one, administrative policies and programs, we've added this in the last meeting or so, just to give you an idea of what we're working on. I bring your attention to one item, the partnership policy. You reviewed this, made your recommendations. We are implementing those into a final draft, and we'll be presenting those to City Council at their second meeting in this month, which will be January the 28th, here at the Vets Hall. So know that you have one agenda item going to Council this month, partnership policy from our commissioners. Hopefully you guys can clear your calendars for March the 22nd, the Slow Capital Workshop, and we've got some real big details we're honing in on this Friday. The group's coming out to Morro Bay for our monthly meeting, and then we'll be working on the details of your workshop. Save the date. I'll get you the details and all the registration information here really soon. The 50th, Morro Bay's 50th anniversary, it's a landmark and legacy, is the mantra. And basically, they've been putting on some programs that they combined with the state parks 150th anniversary and did the first hike of the new year. That was New Year's Day. It was down on the California Coastal Trail. You know it as Morro Rock Beach. And it was a nice day hike. And we have a huge picture. It's probably 5 or 6 feet long. And it's a panoramic. And it's very nice from Studio One. And it is upstairs in the gallery at the Recreation Parks Department. We put it up today. So you get a chance to come by, have a look at that. They kicked off their big celebration with the celebration dinner at the Morro Bay Community Center last Saturday. They combined that program with the Chamber's installation dinner. So they haven't had a standalone, but it's been very productive to partner up with some groups that are doing some programs right now where they can get in and get the 50th celebration out there. And there's some more programs coming. One that we'll be involved in is a bikes tour, and basically a group, whoever's interested in getting together, and we're going to be doing with the bike committee a tour of Morro Bay parks, and we'll be doing it on bicycles. So I'd love to have everybody come out, and they wanted to make sure I said no rickshaws Commissioner Romero. So you're going to have to get your own bike to pedal. And we'll be going through different parks. You with us still? Okay. And I'm hoping that staff will be able to be there, share some information, some history about the parks. Any unique stories will be shared, and the group will be moving to park to park. So that's coming up, I believe, in May. I've been approached by Red Davis regarding our involvement, and I'm very excited to support that program. The Community Foundation, like I said earlier, love letters, February the 15th. There's a fundraiser program.
Joe, do you have a date for that bike event?
I don't have the exact date. I believe it's in May. I've got just a quick, hey, what's up, email, and I haven't had really hard logistics yet. Project Surf Camp is a group that we've partnered up with the last couple years. They are, in turn, teaming up with Cal Poly Recreation Class 210, and they'll be putting on the first ever Project Surf Camp Winter Camp. That is a one-day camp, February the 22nd, down at Coleman Park. We're excited to have both the collaboration with Cal Poly and the existing one with Project Surf Camp. So putting together something in February is going to be new for everybody, and we're hoping that it's successful, that we can continue it. Talked about the spaghetti dinner. There are a multitude of sports activities. I'm looking to commission if someone wants to pin something or pick something out. Junior high sports, basketball, volleyball.
I believe you hit everything there. I think we asked for the first three there.
Okay.
Appreciate the other ones too. Any other ones that you want to add would be great.
No, I would certainly turn it back to the commission and give any more details or ask for acceptance for this report to go to file.
Okay. Any questions? Can we get a motion for A4 to file?
I may make a motion that we accept A4 as presented.
I'll second the motion.
Those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All right. Now we're going to start with some public hearing items. We're going to review a proposed public art for mural on electric boxes located at Marina Street and Quintana Boulevard.
I have that. Good evening, Chair Bates, again. I need to go up and give you a picture of, I have a before picture of the boxes I'd like to show you before I get into
Please.
The proposed art program. Pardon my delay. You've seen this before. It's coming to you as per protocol and advisory board. You'll see that we are anticipating no cost to the city regarding this particular art project. There are in your package samples of what this artist has done in other locations. And you probably are familiar with San Luis Obispo, who not too long ago had a electric box painting program. And so it's something that we haven't fully got into here. We did, there was some beautification of the trash cans. You notice we have public art artists come out and do a lot of the trash receptacles that are now down the waterfront, specifically down in the Anchor Memorial Park. This is a little bit different. Those were, the themes were, there's a lot of nautical themes and litter themes. And this one you'll see hummingbirds and flowers and the rock and a lot of color. And I couldn't tell you which one goes on which box. But we have these. We're going to go ahead and try to get these up on the screen so the viewers at home can have a look at what you're looking at. So from this point forward, it's a matter of understanding what the art proposal is. And then and then weighing in on, is this appropriate location? Is there any other input you'd like to have staff forward to City Council as they review and look to approve or disapprove the public art proposal? So with that, I will turn it over to Chair Bates. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Woods. Did the commission have any discussion? We start at the left, Karen.
I just think they're beautiful.
I agree with that.
Okay. I've actually been contacted by some citizens, some local residents, and they told me, and I agree, that perhaps a monarch butterfly would be more appropriate. Although hummingbirds are wonderful animals, and I have several hummingbird feeders and enjoy their company, that area where those boxes are actually used to be across the street from quite a large habitat that was destroyed. So I would, if I had any comment at all, it would be to please put monarch butterflies there as opposed to hummingbirds. I think it would be more appropriate to our city. Thank you.
Noted. Any questions concerning on my right-hand side?
No, I agree with what he's saying. I think the butterfly is just very, very appropriate, especially this time of year. I've seen a lot of activity.
Yeah, they are pretty.
I think the monarch butterflies are great, but I like to see something that's more blends in instead of stands out. These are pretty brilliant, and they're going to make the boxes kind of like jump at you when you go by.
Mm-hmm.
I like to see maybe like more ocean views, mellower colors, so that when you drive by, you see it, but it's not jumping out saying, oh, look at that box. So that's my feeling. I like to see something not quite as brilliant, more blending in with the surrounding areas.
And what I bet you to say, it would be camouflage paint be the extreme we would not want to go to?
Not necessarily camouflage, no.
Okay.
I mean, it could be scenery, but more like ocean scenery, maybe the rock with some blending in. So not,
you want it to be seen, but a little bit
not
more
jumping out at
a little more softer.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I would like that.
Yeah, I
didn't mean to say to sound a little crass there with the camouflage, but I'm saying that something I didn't want to make sure that, hey, we don't want to see the boxes, blend them in and paint them like ivy so you really couldn't see them.
Oh, no.
As opposed to having a mural or public art on where we can see.
Yes, I like to be recognized that it's there, but not like grabbing your attention when you go by so that it really stands out. Yes, thank you.
I think that is some of the point of the box art program. If you take a look at other cities and what's been done, they are supposed to kind of stand out a little bit, and maybe camouflage would be pretty dangerous at night riding your bike through there and find those boxes. It might help out to be a little bright. And we only had two samples, and I'm looking at at least six different surfaces there, so I'm sure that we can probably get some butterflies in there and a hummingbird, right?
One of the
that would be certainly noted in your recommendation.
Okay.
And as you commissioners conclude this item and we have your formal recommendations on this moving forward, we'll have to have a motion that says either we're supportive and then any kind of nuances or conditions or suggestions, we would go from there as well.
Thank you.
And changing what we have to line us up for the fiscal year 2014-2015. And that starts in July. So I'd like to go through the work program section by section, not line item by line item, but a section by section. So if you have notes in the administrative section, we want to address all those and then move on to the next section. I would say to the commissioners that once we get through with this evening's workshop portion of the meeting, staff will take all of the edits that we make tonight, put them into the document, clean it up one more time, and come back to you in your February meeting, which would be a special meeting that we've agreed to have, and see this and approve and adopt this work program, provided we're all satisfied with our final product, which I think we should be able to do. So know that you'll be able to see this one more time in February as we add, edit, and delete this evening. Any questions before you get started? We don't, and as we conclude tonight's meeting, we actually are adjourning to the special meeting, which we'll want your input on. We're going to throw a date out there, February the 4th, but it's certainly going to be open for discussion at the end of our meeting this evening. So with the administrative section, you'll see not going line item by line item, but knowing that the general provisions and services that the administrative division in our department perform, implementing the registration system, things that we will continue to do, evaluating our services through contract instructors, scheduling clerical and building attendants to effectively cover our community center, which is open 8 to 8 Monday through Thursday and 8 to 5 on Friday. We do close the doors at 5. If there are rentals outside of our operating hours, then we have a rental attendant scheduled for the building. We will continue to do our web page. We are looking to replace some computers in our department, not all, but it seems like we have two or three annually that are dinosaurs, as IT calls them. So we're trying to address that. Various grant projects, improvement to facilities, necessary permits for public project completions. We're involved in all of those as a support. We respond to all your citizens' requests and let us know, as well as our division sits on the subdivision review board. You know, we receive park and lieu monies through the Quimby Act. That all stems from the subdivision review board. And when those happen, which are irregular, that will get an email, and then I'll go and attend those meetings. We will continue to manage and distribute scholarships with the help and partnering up with the Morro Bay Community Foundation, which has been incredibly generous throughout its inception. And right now, it's with the change of bylaws and the addition of board members, there is a lot of activity and there's a lot of success. The basketball scholarships this year increased 143%, which is due partly and largely because of the foundation and their marketing efforts and their generosity to increase the scholarships from a 40% to a 50%. Scholarship. So it's been, and we've been doing it in Spanish, and we really reached out to the schools, and it's been really a good jump start here in basketball, and I am anticipating this to continue throughout the next year. We will also continue serving as a liaison with the Senior Citizens Incorporated, and that group is a nonprofit that run our senior center. They have recently dropped all their utility billing collections, and so the group is basically coming back to their core essence through their bylaws and what they should be providing, because the bill collection was very time-consuming and very consuming for volunteer hours. So not having that task in front of them, there's a lot more freedom for creativity, more energy to be engaged in other programs and activities. Pickleball comes to mind with the Senior Citizens Incorporated. Through talks with their president, they are looking to do more of an umbrella type of an approach with small special interest groups or clubs, mini clubs, if you will, within their organization. And we'll continue to put numbers in where we feel we can get accurate information. And then we'll take these programs and slide them into our proposed budget that comes in March. And towards the end here, you'll see that we have updating the SOPs, fiscal sustainability program, and providing sports and equipment to the public. So there's some larger things we're doing in admin to get some future plans together, and 5 and 10 year plans that we need to have in place, but also the immediate, such as simple as a sports bag for rental. Any comments, add edits, and deletes for the administration section of the work program? I am open and willing to discuss.
Anybody? Adds, edits, deletes?
I have got questions. One on number 12. Staff would like to edit number 12 and put in, instead of serve as liaison, we manage the contractual, manage the contract and the service for the senior center in partner with the Senior Citizens Incorporated to provide adequate and proper senior programming. So we'll clean the words up there, but we want it to be more than a liaison to the board of directors because we are a little bit more involved in their group, mostly because we're needed right now. And I think when the group gets reestablished and gets a solid volunteer base back, our involvement will wane a little bit more. So it's kind of ebbed and flowed throughout the years, and right now it's a little heavier. They're in transition. But we want to recognize staff, not just a liaison, but also managing that contract for senior recreational services at our senior center. No other add edits, deletes?
Here's not.
If something comes to you and you wanted to send us an email, we're certainly open to things after tonight. But it brings us to the next division, which is your division, the commission. And this outlines the commission that you'll provide a liaison to the seniors, and that's what we do now with Commissioner Romero, and he'll be asked some serious questions at our next election. It's okay, Al. There is the annual workshop and dinner at the CPRS district. That's typically in Santa Maria. I think it's held in Santa Maria typically, and we make that information available to you, as well as the CPRS publications that you just recently received. We have a parks tour, and at our February meeting, that's a special meeting, which we haven't decided the date, we're going to ask you at that meeting to select a date for the parks tour. So a couple of leapfrogs on the special meetings, but we wanted to give you some time to get your personal calendars in place and be ready to make the next move, which will be a special meeting, probably in the summertime. The Slow Capital Group we talked about, and that training is coming up March 22nd. We are doing the work program now, and we're asking to attend city council meetings to follow agenda items. And I'd be remiss if I didn't backtrack and say if you did want to send somebody to follow the partnership policy to city council, it's on the 28th, let me know, and we can meet and give you some more details on how that would work out. Any questions added at the Leeds Commissioner's Division?
Anybody? I had one, Mr. Woods.
Sure.
Could we revise number 4 with the annual parks tour to review each site? Is that every facility, every park? Could we
select sites?
Could we reword that, and maybe we could change the tour, maybe simplify it a little bit?
Okay. So if it was to conduct annual parks tour for, to review selected park sites, to identify problems in review and developments.
Yeah, I believe we were discussing inviting some of the other departments to come with us this year.
We would make a stronger invitation to other
yes.
departments. We certainly, it's always been out
including
there, but
it's been
tough.
Friends.
But I think the timing is tough, and I think that when we look at this as a special meeting, we really can target day and time. And we've got some, and so we want to decide that in February.
Location. and an inner-city Morro Bay location, and then also an assessment district location. So that way we visit four of the different types of facilities that we have, and that we can really concentrate. And I think that if we start to invite other groups with us and whatnot, I think the lower amount of visits would be better to facilitate a large group traveling. I couldn't imagine us all traveling to 10 sites and getting out for a minute here or there.
So we could change the wording to open to the public? Is that what you're thinking?
I'm not too sure about that, but I think that the groups that we work with, the Adopt-a Park folks, any of the volunteer groups, tree committees, mm-hmm. alike, other departments within the city of Morro Bay?
I think that it all has some good merit, and we should certainly go for a larger attendance at our parks tour. I think with this particular statement, I'm going to try something on you. If we were to review selected sites and identify problems and review developments and possible educational opportunities, it would stand alone. Now, the details you're talking about as far as which park and how we go about it, that's something that we would put in our staff report for the parks tour. So today we're going to do a parks tour. In this work program, you're just going to identify,
okay,
we want to do a parks tour. It's going to be selected parks. We want a few things in there. And then when we say, okay, this is now that we're getting the nuts and bolts of this, how's it going to put together? How are we going to do it? We're going to go in the trolley. We're going to do three different parks, different sizes, and invite groups out and kind of get a little bit more detailed at that point. But I think if we have selected and somehow word this to include an educational component
presentation.
And staff. So
yeah,
you know, we've done a lot of irrigation reduction. We've done some turf elimination. We've done some things in energy and on the green side of this whole project to say, hey, this is what we're doing. Have our staff come out and explain that to you and show you some of the things in the field. Not too dry, pardon the pun, but enough to say, hey, you kind of want to know about this, and it's a little bit more of a cook's tour of a park system as opposed to just curb appeal.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that'd be better. Okay. That way when the citizens watch it on the video, then they could see the improvements for themselves.
And we were hoping that if we had three parks with a good variety so they can understand larger parks versus smaller parks, and the next year we did it again and we'd have three different ones, we would really have a collection, an archived video collection of some details on particular parks as opposed to what we have now, which is
drive-bys.
It's a drive-by flash, and it's kind of tough to put it all in, and it's overwhelming because you really can't get into any detail with any one. So we'll make those amendments. Any other ones you might see for the Commissioner's Division?
Well, I was wondering, on our website, do we have any video? We probably have a little video of each park on our website.
We have still pictures. We don't. We have not included any video footage. Right now, the video and the streaming is frowned upon by IT.
Okay.
So we
As long as there's some pictures, so people, you know.
We do have some stills in there, and
cool.
We do our best to keep the text up to date as well. So.
Good work.
Thank you.
I was wondering on the tour, are we going to, like, want citizen input, people that use the park, maybe their recommendation, what they think could be to improve the park usage or anything like that, or?
I think that's a good idea. I don't think that this parks tour would allow us enough time to really get into an observation and field testing for any kind of participants.
Maybe we could send a bulletin out, just have them write in their feelings, and then we could field them that way. And maybe as we see the park, look at what they suggest, and we could kind of go over and say, okay, this will work, that won't.
When we pitch this, we get our date. We'll send out the invitation and invite early suggestions to email them in. That's a great idea, and hopefully we can get that in the notes as well.
Yeah, we always appreciate suggestions, and at every one of our meetings, there is a public comment time to voice those concerns or questions. Just want to remind everybody about that.
Next section is recreational sports and facilities. I do have some immediate changes as we address the 14, soon to be 15 items on your list. Conducting softball tournaments in June and September, that is our department's programs. It's the girls' summertime slam and the Labor Day tournament that are happening. We do conduct, obviously, the softball leagues. And out of the softball tournaments that we do, the two, there are another 10 to 12 softball tournaments that come into our town that we permit and manage the use of Kaiser through the permitting and conditioning process. So when those groups come in, they're just not set free on the field. We have conditions, we have staff that monitors so that our assets are used efficiently and effectively, and damage is at a minimum, and expectations and experiences are on the highest possible level. We will continue to provide basketball, t-ball, coach pitch, soccer, futsal, and girls softball. And it's all done primarily with volunteer coaches. You'll see some of your evaluations that we're adding in those volunteer hours and looking at, hey, what is the cash equivalency? What is the part-time hourly wage on all the volunteer hours? And you really get an idea about the value of volunteers. It is key and it is essential for our youth sports programs. So at the junior high, we've got volleyball, boys and girls. There'll be junior high track and field. And what I don't see on here is cross country. So it's track and field as well as cross country. Boys and girls, volleyball and tennis. Any add-ins and deletes, questions, anything that you'd like to see us try to address, not address?
Anybody? Looks like we're good to move forward.
Okay. Youth Services Division. This is a division that is primarily, actually it's not primary because it is dealing with our enrichment program before and after school. This division handles your teen center and teen activities, and the senior center and senior activities. And so we'll continue with those three major programs and venues. We'll continue to provide day camp during the summer, and that's K through 6, and also offering other programs for the public to participate in, and that is the Month of the Child, that is skate park special events that are out at the Teen Center, and as well as what we just had here last December, which was the holiday tree lighting program at City Park. We will continue to operate the teen center and the special programs during holidays and breaks. And you'll see later on this evening with your teen action club evaluations on how that program is going and what are the details that go along with it. We discontinued, and this will be taking off number 5, which is offering teen trips. That was discontinued in 2012, and that will be on our discontinued list. We've continued to operate the skate park, as well as providing a small amount of monies to send some of our dynamic youth leaders to some local training. And I think that when you get involved in our program, you'll see that the quality of leaders is it's much higher than standard. We put a lot of value in putting the training into our staff. It's a lot of their first-time jobs, and so there's some work ahead of us, and it's been very fruitful for both the kids who are getting their first jobs and as well as the participants that are engaged with them through the program. Managing the Teen Action Club is something that we recognized Ed Gallardo for earlier, the seniors did, and we will continue to have a CIT training program in our kids' camp program. Any questions, added and deletes? We might have missed.
Could you explain more about the job training for the kids camp?
I would not want to steal the thunder from the supervisor of Heather Sayer-Frith next to me, so I will turn it over to her. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, commissioners. Kids camp counselor and training program
It is open to students that have completed ninth grade through entering 12th grade. And they come on as paid staff, and through the 9 weeks of camp, they have training on various things, those that deal with child-related specific, but also how to be an employee and the expectations that an employer is going to have for an employee and how you're going to meet those expectations. It's very successful. I typically will hire about 10 or so, and most of them do come from Morro Bay High School, but I've had from San Luis and North County as well.
So is that summertime?
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's for the summer.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I just have one comment on the tree lighting. The cost is there, but no recovery. But I was there, and the participants, the parents that came, gave great results. So I think that's a program we should continue without dropping. And the Santa, he was excellent. I don't know where you North Pole, he still had a good attitude, so that was great. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. It is a zero-cost recovery program, but it's provided by donations. And we had a large donation from a local businessman, and were able to provide the costumes, and refreshments for everyone who was there. So and there was a baker's call. So it really is, we put it together and something that staff believes that we should continue to have, even at zero cost recovery. So I appreciate your support. No other questions on youth services. I would flip the page and have you over at facilities division. At the speed of this report is going okay, Chair, I'll continue. If you want me to speed
please.
It up, I will.
I think we're right there with you.
We're okay?
Yep.
Okay. So not doing too much, but facility crew and Matt Bishop and Josh Whitcomb and Dylan Pruitt, led by Mike Wilcox, really good facility maintenance crew out there. So we'll continue to handle all the service needs there. And that's the in-house employees, and then the other part of that is they provide the recreation of the facilities services for the public as well. So it's not only public venues, but also employee venues. A seven-day service at the community center in the Vets Hall and the waterfront restrooms. And no, we did add a new restroom at 1196 Front Street, and that restroom is up for a periodic review and evaluation and report to City Council, and staff will be providing that within the next month, in early February. We provide adequate staffing for all of our city facilities. Know that we do the janitorial service on city facilities, so we do have a crew that is out in the evenings doing official public buildings, as well as cleaning the community center and locking up. We are going to be continue handling all the reservations of all city facilities, set up to clean up, and all the permit processing that goes along with that. You'll see facilities report. It is very busy on hours used. We have a lot of rentals going on, and right now we're starting the Winter Bird Festival, which takes up the entire facility at the community center, as well as this facility and some others in town. Developing and implementing advertising for public meetings, and we do have several marketing outlets right now as far as the brochure and our website. We'll be working on some new and improved marketing programs that are coming in 2012. Outside lighting, parking lots, entrances, waterfront sites, these are all public safety items that we will address as needed. Hopefully we can do it proactively, but oftentimes it's complaint driven. But we will be addressing not only trees and on the streets, but also the walkways, and obviously all the access in and out of city facilities. And we handle all the contractual maintenance agreements for your fixed fire suppression systems, which you have two of, one in the community center, one in the Vets Hall, as well as the alarms and backflow devices. And we do have service on one elevator in town, and it is something that we have been very diligent about maintaining, and that's and actually has a five-year load test that we've done five times, or we're due up right now. So that's your facilities division, our goals for this next year. The costs do vary. You've got three full-time guys with vehicles and tools and supplies. And right now they're based out of 714 Embarcadero, a little garage. We have a little shop there. But I would imagine the next two or three years our venue will change. We'll have a shop somewhere else that would be a little more adequate, a little bit more industrial design. That concludes the highlights of facilities. I'd be happy to answer any questions and discuss any add and deletes in this division.
Thank you, Mr. Woods. Does the commission have any questions, adds, deletes? Go ahead.
I have one. I was wondering, when you do the maintenance to exterior lighting and that, are we, whenever light goes out, do you put in the new energy-efficient ones to cut down cost on electrical and all that?
That's a good question, Commissioner Swain. When the energy-efficient lamp burns out, we put another one in. Because right now, all your lights are energy-efficient. Outside lights are all LED lights. So you've got extremely efficient lighting exterior zone. There might be a couple spots, but I would have to really, we'd have to really get out and find them. I think some light bollards at Bayshore are very difficult to renovate. We couldn't get to those. But you have a lot of energy efficient lights, and if one was to burn out, which wasn't, we would address not only the bulb, but also the entire fixture to make sure that we were at the highest energy level of efficiency we could be at. So it's a good question, and we're very aggressive on reducing those fixed expenses.
Thank you.
Any other questions? All right. Continue, please.
Parks Maintenance Services, and know that there are, I want to say three full-timers, but right now that consolidated maintenance between streets and parks, it fluctuates, so guys bounce around. But you have... the core of your parks, and both Neil and Bob Trout, and they're handling a lot of your routine maintenance, regular mowing, edging and weeding, and pruning. There is a reimbursement here from the teen center. We borrowed monies to put our solar in, and we'll be paying it back. Our payback was 3 years. To put those funds back into the parking loop funds. And then, as we've seen recently, the teen center is basically off the grid electrical with their solar panels now. So the payback is right on schedule, if not ahead of schedule, which is great to hear. We will provide special needs assistance with special events. We have a special events team. We meet on the second Thursday monthly with large groups that come in with big special events, work out the conditions, work out the traffic plans. We've got all the department heads there, and we team up to make the program successful and answer and deal with any concerns in the planning stages, which has been very effective. And this next year, we'll be looking to redo our special events application so it would include a flow chart, if you will, of what you're doing and associated conditions, so we can get ahead of, as you fill it out, you're actually adding conditions to your permit. So we're in the draft stages, and hopefully we'll have that concluded in the next 2 or 3 months. We're continuing to provide the event signs that slide in at the entrances to the town at Highway 41 in Yerba Buena. We will continue to work with the bike club to provide the bike park down on Main Street. And right now we're still on the MOU with the permitting and design. And we will continue to work with the Morro Bay Pups at the dog park. Those are my highlights for the Parks Division. Any questions, add edits, and deletes?
I'll start on my right this time. Any questions? Zero over here. I had one question. Is this a number one? Is that correct? The Is that one sign, laminated composite sign, $3,000 sign? Or is that for all the signs?
No, that's for multiple signs.
Okay.
But thanks for clarifying. Some are big, but they're not $3,000 worth. Now, some of the big ones we have going, Welcome to Morro Bay, and then that's what we're talking, that was between $2,000 and $3,000. Those are very large signs.
Okay.
But these are much smaller and much more palatable for our resources that are available.
Would this be an appropriate spot to put maintain work with the Estero Bay Community Pool Foundation, or would that go on a different section or not at all? Just asking.
It would go in another section and is not on there, but it is in my handwritten notes, and the next page is our summary of projects, and we would play sports and fitness. And I have, there's A, I've got B, C, D, and E to add. And I certainly would at that time add in, continue working with the Estero Bay Community Pool Foundation, as well as other stakeholders in providing design and development of an aquatic center, and eventually the construction and maintenance of an aquatic center. So we're definitely supporting that. It has some good movement with that. But we definitely want to keep it in the work program. Thanks for bringing that up. I'm going to go back to parks. Is there anything else on parks that we want to add, and delete? If not, we can move on to capital projects.
I think we're ready to move forward.
We got a little thin on capital projects. We got quite a few done last year, which was exciting. Administrative-wise, we've got a couple big ones out there. Our recreation parks access, recreation and access element, which is part of the general plan and the local coastal plan, which is being reviewed at a agency level as opposed to just our department. So we're going to hopefully be included and get some current information into that particular program. We're going to be master planning Coleman Park, Target, and the Rock parking lot. Know that that's been on hold from City Council, and we'll be redirecting current funds in the park in lieu to some real property assets that need improvement, specifically at Del Mar restroom and parking lot. The master plan, facilities master plan, is dated 85-90. We're looking to update that. We would love to do it in-house. If that doesn't get wheels in the next few months, we'll maybe looking to outsource or look for some help on a third party to keep that particular plan on target for completion. The QR code program is something that we've already implemented on a partial basis, and we would like to do a little bit more universal inclusion in the questionnaire that we worked with the Chamber on last year for softball tournaments, and asking what people liked and what they felt could be changed. And unanimously, the vote came in to add more fields. So we're going to put it on our wish list. We want to add more fields. And when the opportunity comes up, somebody, including everybody in this room, knows that we're interested in more fields. And the other, the last one we'd like to add would be the a beach volleyball court or a sand volleyball court, not necessarily on the beach that gets washed away. So we've been doing it at the Junior Lifeguard Program in the summertime, but we would look for a different location, a more permanent location to provide sand volleyball drop-in under indirect activity. The Teen Center Rockies master plan is still a master plan out there. It's unfunded, and if opportunity comes for grants or any kind of funding, we would certainly be in a position to apply for those. In the facilities division, there we're looking to replace public restrooms at Del Mar, at Coleman, and at Monte Young, as well as the North T Pier. That cost is $185 each. That's going to be subject to location, design, materials. And so our plan now is to look at the Del Mar restroom. What do we need to get out of this restroom? How many facilities can we provide? If it's two restrooms or three, are they going to be individual? They'll be made out of block. but how would that look, and how can we use the existing rough plumbing to work with something new as opposed to a expensive fabricated drop-in, which still takes a lot of work. So we're working on getting something that's economical, functional, and aesthetic. And that's not too easy to do, but that's our quest. So know that we have that intention, and we certainly have your direction and your interest in getting that restroom rehabbed. B on this is some work at City Hall and some HVAC units, and that would be subject to change. When you see this next, you may not see that because there's been some work there, and I think we're finished with the work. And in the parks, we have A through E I added, which is basically perform maintenance overlays at Lila Kaiser and at Del Mar and at Bayshore and at Tidelands and at Cloisters and at North Point. So North Point and the Cloisters may be subject to delay on this, but certainly Kaiser and Del Mar, Bayshore and Tidelands will be higher on the priority list for us. Replacing the picnic tables at Lila Kaiser and Del Mar are on the table, and the ones at Del Mar, we will be looking to come to you with a concept drawing of a total redo of the group picnic area off of Ironwood Street. And we'd like to get some local talent, possibly out of the Cal Poly, to help us deal with the redesign so we can help facilitate small groups as well as large groups that come out there for end-of-the-season tournament parties. You know, your team party comes out, 50th anniversary party, of course. But there's class reunions that go out there. There are big family reunions. So we think the table layout, if we change what we have, the furniture, we could do a different layout, not only with the tables and chairs, but the picnic tables and the horseshoe pits as well. So be looking for that one to come back to you. And if you have an interest in that, please let staff know. We can include you in some of the preliminary discussions. We're looking to replace play structures at Tidelands, City Park, Coleman, and the Cloisters. The Cloisters, not so much immediately because we've done some work, but complete renovation on that structure is inevitable. It will happen, and we'd like to get more regimented with our replacement, trying to build up some funds and replace them on a scheduled as opposed to reactive. We feel that's it's certainly in our best interest, but it is costly. So we want to make sure that's in our work program. We still have a duty to, I believe, to remove some non-functioning turf areas. And one you walk by today, it's in front of this building. It looks good. It's a nice green buffer, but it's really non-functioning turf as opposed to the turf that we had at Lila Kaiser or at Del Mar, where I have different functions for recreational use on that turf. This is just an aesthetic. It's part of the CLIP program. And so we like to eliminate the turf, bring in some plants, different walkways. I have a pretty good design on my walkalization costs.
Any other questions, comments, adds, deletes? Right. Tom?
I was just wondering, you mentioned the beach volleyball. Have you thought of the basketball court that's down there by Coleman's Park, which is never getting used? That would be great to put a beach volleyball court right there. You're at the beach, you have the sand right there.
Just because the Lakers aren't playing tonight doesn't mean basketball's not going on.
Well, basketball goes on. I've seen it in the downtown park, but I've never really seen it there.
I'm a little leery about pulling recreational opportunities as opposed to adding more. So when we talk about pickleball and where it could go, and we could easily say nobody does roller hockey anymore. But we just had a sighting like 2 days ago. There's a group out there playing.
It's still hot.
And so there are people who are still playing. So I think that instead of trying to really, and I see your point, if it's not being used, let's utilize the space. But we're talking about changing a sand court is a big deal. Plus, we look to master plan that area. But I don't want to go in and say, and make some, you know, here we're going to bump three or four groups out that maybe not are consistent or we haven't recognized them and not allow them to participate in that sport at that venue. I think that with these mobile nets and the portability of pickleball, we're going to be allowed to use a venue that won't lose its original intent, but allow for additional use as we see programs come and go. We'd like to have a multi-use facility that will be able to accommodate that. So I don't quite have a site for that skate, the sand volleyball yet.
Just as another thought, well, why don't we took sand pickleball? That'd be interesting. You don't get hurt at all out there, but it'd be something different.
There used to be a volleyball court that went up by the first lifeguard station.
That's us.
That's us, yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that equipment, is it worn out?
No, the equipment's good. It's just a matter of, it goes, there's no beach in the winter.
Right.
So we actually lose the venue, it washes out. Yeah. So having a different location like Coleman would allow it to be preserved and a little more year-round, like the winter months that we're getting now, at 80 degrees when we could be playing beach volleyball.
Yeah.
Please.
I know the surfers are all jazzed.
There are two beach volleyball courts at the high school.
Oh.
That are absolutely never used.
They're open to the public,
though? I've graduated.
That's where we're putting the pool.
Those courts are open to the public?
Yeah,
that's. I think that when we talk about this kind of drop-in, there's more to it. And, you know, the basketball court at City Park is alive and does real well because of where it's at. You know, people want to be in City Park, and you're playing basketball. It's a cool little spot to be. Volleyball needs to be the same. It needs to be somewhere that's not hidden. It's open. People can see it. People can be seen. That kind of socialization in this recreational sport kind of
maybe that
helps
sounds
it.
Like a great place for the master plan in the Coleman area to incorporate that element there, because I think the visibility would be kind of identical to the basketball City Park.
It's without a doubt. And I would say let's make sure we bring that forward when those discussions come to light.
I have one other comment.
Sure.
I don't know if this is the right place or not, but we're talking about administrative things. Have we ever thought of doing an Easter egg hunt for the younger kids in the town? That brings in a lot of...
Yes, we have. And our Easter egg hunt was actually very dynamic back in the day. It had waned a little bit in participation. There was a time where financially the city was looking for as many cuts as possible, and zero-cost recovery programs were targeted. And so the Halloween celebration, the Easter egg hunt, the lighted boat parade, as well as the tree lighting, are all programs that were zero cost recovery, which were dropped off of our service, our work program, and asked to be placed into the community to have service clubs pick them up. And the Eagles did pick up the Easter egg hunt for I think maybe 1 or 2 years. The champion behind that wasn't able to continue with that level of volunteerism, and there wasn't anyone to pick it up. And that's often what happens when a program is provided at solely a sole volunteer basis. And that's where we find a mixture of staff, such as your basketball and your sports. You've got a core of staff that provide the structures, and we have volunteers coming and helping us provide all that program in detail. Same with our Adopt a Park program. You've got the core bones and structure with staff, and then you have an ebb and flow of volunteers that come in and enhance from time to time, but really you need that base. The community wants Easter egg hunt again. Now's the time to pursue it. Right? Put it in the work program. Let's look at providing this and how we can do it, and we'll certainly do the best we can. But realize that we are providing some sustainability in our programs, and certainly cost recovery based on our policies.
Okay, thank you.
Well, maybe you'll have about 10 calls tomorrow.
Right on.
I had one question or addition. I see the master plan of the Coleman Park, Target Rock, Morrill Rock area, Northern Embarcadero.
Implementation plan?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Got it.
It's been placed on hold by council. Would this be the appropriate spot to put the ground, the design and groundwork for the donated art from the Fisher.
Yes, I get what you're saying, Chair Bates. This would be the appropriate location. Instead of moving forward with this, it is on hold and put it in the work program. We certainly can split out from this general master plan two specific plans, one to address the pedestrian ramp from the parking lot to the beach, which is a connector on the gap of the California Coastal Trail, as well as the detailed and specific plans for the Goodbye Point, which is the Fisherman's Family sculpture that is designated to be out at the very south tip of the Target Rock area as you go into the state park gate. So I would say yes, it is, and we can certainly address both of those issues in here and gather up some costs, what they might be, because I have a pretty good ballpark on the overall master plan, but I think that the details are going to be, it could be somewhere around, I want to say $20,000 on those specific plans to get to the construction spot where we need to be. So I hear that the art may be available and delivered sometime this year. We got 11 months. I'm hoping sooner than later. And staff would like to be prepared on those sites to put in something that is presentable to the public, acceptable by locals, classy, good design, sturdy. I mean, everything we want out there. It should blend in. It should do a lot of things, but you'll get a chance to look at that. But this is a good spot for it. Thank you.
Yeah, maybe it'll serve as some momentum to kind of develop. We've talked about it a bunch. Target Rock, Coleman, The Rock. Maybe it'll just kind of serve as a kind of initiation to.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely. Once and we have identified it in here, when opportunities come up. If someone wants to write a check, we're ready. We say, hey, we got the program, we got the site, this, we have a cost, let's move forward. Or if there's a grant opportunity that really this program would fit into, we'd want to apply. And there's certainly that case with the state parks, with our connector trail, with that ramp. But it's going to be some resources to allocate, and hopefully we can get a higher priority out of this program and into our budgeting process.
So how did you want to close this up? Did we need a motion, or
I think that
did
we
you take notes on the questions or changes? And
we have all the notes on your questions, add edits and deletes. We have ours. We're going to put all that together and come back to you with a final draft in your February meeting for your adoption, and then we will work off of that program into our budget process. So between now and then, if you have other small things that we need to tweak or add in here, we'll certainly consider those. But it sounds like the lion's share of this work is done this evening.
I would say so. Yeah.
No formal action needed. We can certainly move on to the next item when you're ready.
The next item would be a new business. D1, discussion of offering pickleball as a new recreational program.
Good evening, Chair Bates. Director Woods again. I'll try to make this brief because we've talked a lot about pickleball. And I put a couple pictures in here of pickleball for you. Commissioner Romero, can appreciate. Well, I did a little cartoon on the end just because the pickles playing pickleball was kind of funny. But you can see it's a pretty close game, you know. I do have a few notes to on my report for you this evening. One moment. I won't get into the details of how pickleball was started. Apparently, it was 1965, so it's a fast-growing sport. But I think it's so forth about pickleball. I won't get into any of the benefits, you know, the indirect economic benefits of having pickleball, and we've heard that earlier. But I think that offering a program or a sport to our community that we feel, and you may feel, that is of value, is of interest, is something that our participant, our community would say, hey, we really want to do this, and they start doing it, then we should definitely look to provide that opportunity. This started back in November at the 19th at your meeting, so this is a quick turnaround for pickleball. And it's one of those, you know, we don't want to miss the pickleball express. We want to make sure that we're on it, and if it's running close to us, we could pick up on that momentum. Right now, staff has identified the sport could be offered, should be offered on a hard surface, obviously, but Monty Young Park seems like the least expensive if you were going to provide this, because it would matter of restriping one, two, or three, or four courts on there, and the nets could be right there as well. So they could either, I don't know if they, he didn't get into either lowering that net 2 inches or not. He actually had brought in his own net, but he didn't say you could lower the tennis court.
It'd be too wide.
It's too wide. It's only 20 feet wide. So having the standalone, so Monty Young, existing tennis courts are a possibility for pickleball. Del Mar tennis courts and Monty Young tennis courts. And realize the soft courts at Del Mar may not be exactly what we want to quickly convert it to pickleball if we've just established them as new tennis courts. Rehabbing existing facilities, and we've outlined a few for you in your report. Coleman Park basketball court is an area that we could see as a possibility of having pickleball courts, realizing that these sites would have to have or could have a job box, if you will, with this gear in it, and a combination that a volunteer of the program could go out and open and facilitate a program or a clinic or something like this, or a drop-in. The other areas could be Del Mar roller hockey rink, or even the City Park shuffleball court is something that could be a possibility. I'm not endorsing any one of these in particular, though I do think that the roller hockey rink has my interest, without a doubt. The fact that you can get multiple courts there, that we don't have a lot of heavy use there, and that if we were to use that area, we could probably stripe it fairly inexpensively, provide enough gear for at least two courts, if not three, and then sign it so pickleball is only certain days and hours throughout the week, and then allowing roller hockey, and then realizing we're probably going to have to go through a little bit of an adjustment to make sure that we're not stepping on people's toes, make sure we're getting, make sure that facility is available to roller hockey or roller derby teams that want to practice during their season. And so that would be a little bit of an investigative work on staff's part. But I think it's very doable. And the other option would be to go to, pardon me.
At that facility, too, I play tennis on that court and live close by. It, from my observation, the number one use of that is soccer. And lots of numbers. I mean, 30-plus players on the weekends.
So is it outdoor futsal?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. On concrete?
Yep. Roller. And using the walls, the balls coming off the walls, a
pinball.
Lot of use.
Pinball soccer. Really?
Racquetball
okay.
soccer.
Mm-hmm.
And using those little goals, everything. They've adapted to people waiting to play.
Wow. Good for them.
So if we can get multi-use and say on the days that they're not there, the weekdays, where we have a population that if we're targeting an older citizen that, you know, 10 to 2 is prime time. And whereas we have students and others that might be working or in school, it might be that that is a good second use for that venue. And then the third option I was getting into would be the non-city-owned lease sites. If you wanted to go indoors, there's a possibility. I was looking into the school district sites and playing in either gymnasium or cafeteria at one of the schools, either in town or probably in town, Moore Elementary or Del Mar, if it was going to go inside. So those are some options that we've to seniors in our town. We're looking at $300 to $800. I think the price was like $170 or $180, just under $200 for the net. And basically it's the poles, and they have little stands that flip out so it sits up by itself. We're definitely in favor of that. I'm in favor of having a job box so they're on site. The paddles and the balls you can get in a set, and that's another close to, you know, $140, $150. And that's like eight and eight. So you could house basically a couple of courts with that. So for $300-$400, we could get a couple of courts laid out. Up to eight, we would include the striping, the equipment, and probably the job box as well. So it's fairly inexpensive to get it started. Effort and commitment. And that's why I've come to you to ask you, do you want to commit an existing facility for the opportunity of pickleball? If you do, what site are you suggesting or recommending that staff pursue? And to what level are you recommending our resources or finance allocation? So with that, I'll turn it back to Chair Bates for any questions or any follow-ups you might have.
Thank you, Mr. Woods. Does anybody have a... Let's start on it right here.
I really appreciate, Joe, what you've said. Obviously, you've done your homework considerably. And based on discussions I've had, especially with our tennis group, they are totally in favor of this program. And what do we need to do to move forward?
I love the enthusiasm. If the tennis club was looking to help us out, and seriously help us out, we would get into an agreement with you. If we weren't going to the seniors, we went with another group. There was him into our Adopt-A-Park group. We can get you to help us facilitate on a volunteer basis access to the equipment, at least, and possibly some coordination of directed play, clinics, and possibly tournament play. So we certainly would be open for discussions, and we can sit down and get a meeting with your reps and staff and move that forward. So we have a couple of options then, it sounds like, and I appreciate that, Commissioner Romero.
You're welcome.
Tom?
I think pickleball has a great future, but I think I'm not sure if we should provide the paddles and the balls or not. Like when you play tennis, you have to bring your own paddle and balls because most people want to, you know, get a tennis or a ball or a paddle that they like. So I think we should definitely provide the net and the striping. And I do think Monty Young is the great because there's already the tennis players there. They could just transform right into it at the same time, you know, maybe a different day, but be right there. But I think we should move ahead with it. And I can see where we can maybe make this a tourist venue to make some big annual events down here or something with it.
If I could interject a point, Monty Young Tennis Court is used very frequently. Very frequently. I live three doors from there. And our group plays every Tuesday and Friday. But during the week, there must be a lot of unemployed people that are playing that are very, very young.
They're retired.
Or that are full-time students.
Or night jobs.
Work at night. That's another possibility. But I think that our organization would be happy to do some of the underwriting. I think that each player should purchase their own paddle ball racket. Yes. The net would be fine if we could possibly subsidize paying for the net.
If I could just comment,
please do.
Chair. I appreciate you both, your positions. Realize that when we say recreational activities and recreational opportunities, it's across the board. And if we can provide, you know, this is $200, and I can get a set and put eight people on the court. To me, I'd want to do that. Now, there's going to be some guys come out there with the headband and straps and ready to play, and they're going to have the brand new stuff. I mean, probably if you got into it, you try it out, you like it, then you go buy, you know, invest in it. And we're going to give them opportunity to try it out and to see, hey, do I like it? Is this going to be it? And I think what you're going to find is it's going to catch up. It's just going to take off. There's going to be socialization, physical workout. It's going to be all that we're looking for. And people are going to invest. But I think that having it available is key for clinics and drop-in to get people in there and then possibly sports rental bag. I can see that happening as well. So I appreciate where you're at, but I think that we might want to give it a little seed money there and to get it started.
Yeah, I would agree with the, you know, to get the initial pickleball craze, that we just provide the stuff and get people excited about it, and they'll start buying their own rackets and gear, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, there's multiple users here all the way down the hopscotch. You know, this kind of change that area if we're going to introduce another rec element in there.
And really, if we looked at that area to be where we want to be having pickleball, the basketball court is certainly another option of a hard surface that we say, hey, we got four or five courts inside the roller hockey rink for pickleball, and we have another three on the basketball court for maybe a one-day pickleball fest or tournament or a invitation to the Paso team to come out and play our team kind of thing. And so absolutely. I think we have there is room for that expansion court, where I don't see that at Monty Young, nor do I see it at Coleman. And it's certainly cost prohibitive for us to go rent district facilities, even at the rate we get with our agreement with them, it still would be cost prohibitive for us to go inside with it. So it sounds like inside-outside, it hasn't been an issue for pickleball, and they prefer to be outside, and that unless it hasn't, we haven't heard about when, but we would anticipate a windy spot is not a good spot for wiffle ball. So it sounds like Del Mar is more what we're looking to do.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, maybe just start with two courts and see where it goes.
And that's the kind of direction I'd be looking for as far as I said earlier, location.
Location.
Commitment and how much resources we want to put into this to get it started. And if we have some discretion for staff to work with the implementation of the program or not.
Bob? Do you have anything to add? No? Karen?
So the striping have to be green?
I have no idea. Probably. They didn't say we have a dilly of a time or something.
Yeah. But it's a real sweet discussion.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. It's slowly becoming one of the bread and butter
sports that there is. Kosher court. Yeah.
Ready for your motion, Chair, please.
I'll make a motion that we look into it further as making the roller rink the possible place and purchase maybe two nets to start it off with and the painting, striping for two courts and along with the racket and the balls to compensate that just as a starter.
Yeah, I'll second that motion. So the motion is set up two courts and buy enough equipment to main run two courts for now.
Striping
plus the lockbox that we put the equipment in.
At the rink.
Okay, those in favor?
Aye.
But
we seconded.
You did, just right now.
I seconded that, and yes, aye.
Yes, okay. None opposed. Thank you very much.
Wonderful. And thanks for getting us through that. We will include this item in our work program. And then obviously looking in, once it's in there, we have opportunity to fund, we will move forward.
So yeah, it sounds like we're going to have a lot of details to work out with the different users and groups.
Yeah, it's just a matter of
all the groups that get involved.
We'll do the legwork on that, certainly.
It'll be a sign-up just like the chessboard or whatever, right? People will call and reserve or show up. You need to have somebody there to lock the box.
Staff is anticipating starting this as a drop-in activity, similar to what you have out there now. You've got tennis, it's drop-in.
Right.
Now, if we can establish a volunteer and a group that's going to adopt the program, then on-site equipment will be available at certain times in the drop-ins. And whether it's free or fee, we didn't talk about but we would certainly be looking for, as an individual benefited program, on our hierarchy and cost recovery, would be closer to 100%. So we'd be looking for 100% cost recovery on the program when we implement it, and we're going to base that on having staff as the core structure and as volunteers, the implementators, out in the field. And that was kind of a model we talked about earlier. We feel that that will be successful here particularly when we look for this, the type of benefit is individual, and we want 100% cost recovery. So that's what we'll be shooting for.
Okay, good.
And so we don't want to do, we want to do free, not fee, but we also want need to be 100% cost recovery.
I have a question relative to the Adopt-a-Park. Is there a set fee or a suggested fee that the city would like from a donor?
No, we don't. We don't have that expectation. We get into Adopt-a-Park contracts or agreements. We could have a group come in and say they only want to do once a week service, and that's all they can and do. Oftentimes, and right now, all of our agreements are much more stringent than that. There's an obligation. There's no transfer of funds. Unless you have all your stuff and you can go out there on your own and play, that's a drop-in. But right now, we're talking about having a volunteer access the nets and the balls and the paddles and making them available for play.
Okay, thank you.
All right. I think we covered pickleball, correct?
Okay. I think we're there. And
one sweet pickle at a time.
your D2 evaluations, okay. You're going there. We have Supervisor Heather Ann Salyer Fifth with us this evening. She's waited a long time to present you with a variety of program evaluations. So she's going to address those now, Heather.
Thank you. Good evening, Commissioners, and I'm happy to present these following reports. And I'm going to start us off with the program evaluation for Kids Club for the past school year, 2012-13. And I'm just going to highlight some points. Kids Club is classified under the merit service category, which has a target goal of a 70-79% cost recovery. And again, Kids Club was within that area with a 73% cost recovery. The department's before and after school enrichment program has evolved over the past 40 years to meet state regulations and mandates. Kids Club has become a valued program to Del Mar Elementary students, faculty, and parents. Staff has proactively pursued support cost reductions while keeping fees within the reimbursement ceiling set by the state for child care subsidy. Kids Club is licensed by the state of California. According to the Department of Social Services Community Care Licensing Division, Kids Club is located at Del Mar Elementary and operates concurrently with the San Luis Coastal Unified School District between the hours of 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. Staff working at Kids Clubs meet and often exceed the minimum education and experience for the job titles as outlined by the state of California. Additionally, each employee is processed through the state of California and has clear all background procedures. State inspections occur every 3 to 5 years and are conducted by the Department of Social Services. Kids Club was last inspected in January 2011 and was found compliant with all regulation. Kids Club continues to meet and exceed all standards set by the state of California. And, of course, we follow all those state mandates and regulation, including class size, staff qualification, and nutritional standards. Kids Club provides quality before and after school enrichment opportunities that help develop children's social, emotional, physical, and cognitive skills. Kids Club offers daily activities and that develop essential skills children need to grow into healthy, productive members of society. And on occasion, Kids Club participants get the opportunity to participate in special events and field trips, such as Patriots Day, Lights On After School. We celebrated Michelle Obama's birthday this year. Well, that was really great. They wrote letters to her, and we mailed them off. That was nice. Earth Day, we participate in Del Mar Open House. We have a garden club, and we love the Mermaid and Pirate Parade. This concludes the staff report for Kids Club, and I am available to answer any questions at this time.
I'm missing three.
Thank you, Heather.
Welcome.
So we'll start over on the left this time. Karen, did you have any questions?
No.
Sure.
Nope.
What about you, characters?
No question.
I just want to say it looks like a great program. Keep up the good work. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, we got another staff report for you, and this is for Kids Camp 2013, this last past summer. Kids Camp also falls in the merit service category, which has, as I said before, a 79% cost recovery goal. And again, we met that in this last past summer with a 77% recovery. Kids Camp 2013 offered children entering grades kindergarten through sixth grade a quality day camp experience during 8 weeks of the San Luis Coastal Unified School District summer break. Approximately 80 children each day participated in a wide variety of activities and adventures that focus on wildlife and the great outdoors. At the end of the summer, the previous summer, 2012, staff recommended changing the grade levels for each classroom as well as to accept children that would be entering kindergarten. Prior to that, you had to have completed kindergarten. In the summer of 2013, those recommendations were implemented with success, creating a more balanced room ratios. For the summer of 2014, staff will continue this new year. These volunteer efforts have been coordinated by department staff with various groups and organizations throughout the city. The TAC has provided volunteer service consisting of a wide variety of things from food service, kitchen prep, cleanup and setup, concession, poster and flyer distribution, parking posting, solid waste management, and overall event assistance. And we've been doing this since 2009, and this report tracks those. 2009-10, our first year, we earned or provided 119 and a half hours of volunteer service. But now, when we look at 2012-13, we're actually up to 723 hours of volunteer service provided by 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17-year-olds. And some of these that we provided that year were the Teen Advisory, the Teen Action Club is an Adopt-A-Park partner, and of course we adopted our park that is right across from us, Lila Kaiser Park. We work with the Morro Bay 4th of July Committee and provide a kitty carnival during that celebration. We helped during the Morro Bay Recreation and Parks Rock to Pier Run. We started a public parking lot restriping program. We've helped with the Merchant Street Fairs, the Morro Bay Seniors Incorporated, the Morro Bay Harvest Festival, the Morro Bay Holiday Tree Lighting, the Morro Bay Community Foundation, and the Central Coast Monster Skate are a listing of those that we have assisted with. The TAC has developed a positive reputation with many organizations and groups within the city and thus increased their volunteer opportunities over the past 5 years. And this concludes this report, and I am here for questions as well.
Thank you.
This is a great program. Good work.
Thank you.
That sounds great. Maybe we can have those guys stripe our pickleball courts and
that may be out of their ability.
Oh, okay.
But I think we could incorporate and at least approach them with the idea. I like it. It's this group here really wants to put back in the community, and we find some real value in not contracting out the striping or having other street guys do the striping in the parking lots and having the teens come in, and actually it's a whirlwind. Everybody's winning on this one. I think that the courts might be something we could look at with some assistance. So I appreciate the offer on that.
Good idea.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for all your hard work on that, Heather. It's fantastic.
And Edward Gallardo needs to be recognized, too, as their kind of coordinator. But thank you very much. The next report I have for you is also the Teen Action Club, but it's for the summer of 2013. And you might, why are there so many reports about it? Because staff made the decision that this is a really important program to us, and therefore we want to bring you more current
information that gives it more relevancy. So we decided to split this report up into two. It will be summer, and then you'll get one that concludes the school year. In 2009, staff envisioned teen volunteerism as a way to maintain fiscal responsibility, and therefore formed the TAC, the Teen Action Club. During the summer of 2013, the TAC provided the following volunteer services: the Morro Bay 4th of July celebration. We had 8 volunteers for a total of 47.5 hours. And, of course, we did an all-day kitty carnival at Tidelands Park at the request of the Morro Bay 4th of July committee. During that summer, we also assisted with the Morro Bay Rock to Pier Run. We had 9 volunteers, a total of 51.5 hours. They did several duties for the Rock to Pier. And mostly, we worked at the finish line in Cayucas with setup, cleanup, even some timing assistance as well. We have our public parking restripe program, where we had 7 volunteers collect 40 hours at Cloisters Park, and then also 2 volunteers to collect 10 hours at the parking lot spaces near the Rock restroom. And then our adopter park at Lila Kaiser, we accumulated 15 hours over that summer. During the 10 weeks of summer, the TAC volunteerism equates to approximate contribution of 32% of the cost recovery of the operational budget for the teen center during that time period. And this concludes the risk report. If you have any questions, I'm here. Tree, the mayor and Santa led a countdown, and the holiday tree magically lit up, marking the close of the celebration. Staff intends to use the same performance lineup and seeks more volunteers and donation for the 2014 celebration. The holiday tree lighting celebration meets the Morro Bay Recreation and Parks Department mission statement by providing quality service that is essential and necessary to live a healthy and rich life. And this concludes this report, and I'm available for any questions or comments pertaining to this.
Thank you very much.
So if there isn't any specific questions for any one of those reports, so we would look for acceptance for all those reports by motion, if you have that.
Me too.
Go ahead.
I move that we accept those reports.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, we got a second to accept D2 to file. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. None opposed?
We got 2 items left, your future agenda items, and then nailing down a date for our February special meeting for elections and some other little business matters that we need to take care of.
Now's the time to announce any future agenda items. The commission, does anybody on the commission have any future agenda items they'd like to see up?
I was thinking maybe an update on the BMX bike park. It's been a while. It's been maybe 4 months.
Good one.
And I know they just had a fundraiser. It'd be interesting to see how much money they made on that and how they're coming along with the design.
We can certainly get a hold of the group and see if we can get it to your next meeting. Probably not your special meeting, but in the March meeting. Okay. And I just wanted to make a mention, Chair Bates, that a future agenda item was presented at the last meeting, which is the Soldiers Benefit Banner Program, Honor Program. Oh, yeah. And staff still has that. We apologize for not getting on tonight's agenda. There has been a little bit of activity with that with the Senior Citizens Incorporated, maybe taking on a little more active role in that program, as well as the Tourism Bureau, which I met with yesterday, who are very interested in the banner program as well. So two little hot leads. We should have something coming back to you here rather shortly. Thank you.
So I guess what's left is to discuss the meeting date in February, the special meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And your proposed one was February 4th? Is that a Tuesday?
That's correct.
Is it Tuesday or Monday?
That'd be a Tuesday at 5:30.
Okay.
I'm just throwing it out there. There are some holidays. The February the 11th is a holiday for February the 12th is Lincoln's birthday. The city will be closed on February the 12th, as well as Washington's birthday, which is the next following Monday to that. President's observed. So it's Lincoln's actual birthday on the 12th we take off, and Washington's observed birthday on the Monday that we take off. So there's a couple of holidays. So we probably throw this one in there before that.
Good. I thought they had combined that to President's Day, all one holiday instead of 100 of them.
It hasn't caught on to a lot of different places, and right now we're celebrating both Lincoln's birthday and Washington's. Hey.
Oh, it's I forgot it's government.
Yeah, government. All bets are off.
That answers my question.
I believe that stuff's grandfathered in.
It's just a messenger. Those are the holidays. I'm shooting for the 4th. If that's okay. An agreeable date, we might have something and we can conclude tonight.
Mr. Sedaris is available the 4th. I'm available the 4th. Can you come a little later? Oh.
How about earlier?
Earlier? Yeah.
Okay.
Wednesday?
We'll have to look for an open space for us to meet that would be conducive to cameras and lights and makeup and stuff.
Okay. So. Is it a regular meeting, like a regular length meeting?
This is a special meeting for you. We're only going to address election items. We're going to look at the final on the work program, and then quick topics on spaghetti dinner and the slow capper workshop. So really, the bulk of it.
At 7 p.m. with Mr. Woods keeping it brief. And everybody else too.
Certainly, we'll have that outlined for you. thanks for all your help this evening, and with our new venue, with our new program, with bringing in the groups. I appreciate all your help and acceptance and receiving them. So, thanks again, and I hope you guys have a good evening.
All right, well, I'm going to adjourn this meeting. Thank you very much, everybody.